This is Kevin Walter, your host. True Wealth, as always, is brought to you by Coins Plus in Spokane, Washington. You've heard it before. Coins Plus is your full-service rare coin and precious metals broker-dealer depository service. And we've been in business over a couple decades. We specialize in building portfolios, wealth and capital preservation. And we've helped our clients do really well over the years, I'm going to admit. I've been doing this a while in the money world, and I've learned over time, a little more balance, when to sell, when to buy, things like that, and what, you know, when to look at other things. I have personally made some not-so-bright investments by jumping into, you know, high-risk venture capital-type situations, even with some very big name partners in business. But, you know, God created true wealth in Genesis chapter 2. I've gone over this, but I was talking to a friend the other night, and I'm telling you, it is profound. I mean, I just find it profound. I think it's neat. I think we need to look at it sincerely. I think a lot of times you have to look, there's people say, oh, this isn't in the Bible or that's not in the Bible. There's a lot of truth to that. There's a lot of decisions that are left up to us, right? There's things that are on our terms that we have to make decisions on. It's free will. And that's one of the things about free will, is that we have to have it in order to be accountable. And so God leaves a lot of things open, and we're like, man, I wish the Bible said this, or the Bible said that, told me how to do this or do that. But the bottom line is, a lot of those issues are, you know, inert, maybe. They may not seem inert, they may have significant impacts on your life, but there is no right or wrong. What God's really looking at that point in time is your heart. And that's what's really most important with God, is your heart. And what is, I think, really, really difficult to do is to approach God and with an open heart, with an absolute unbiased, you know, as much as possible, lack of agenda, no narrative, no nothing, just looking for the truth. And that's something that, you know, Solomon said in Ecclesiastes that he'd search the world over. And where is that? Ecclesiastes 7, I'm going to guess 28 or 27, see if I can find it. But he says he searched the world over and he found that didn't bring me up anything. Anyway, that he's found, you know, 1 out of 1,000 men with integrity, and then I won't repeat the rest because it'll maybe offend somebody. I don't think it needs to be taken that way. But he does say that he found, I gotta find this here. I'm having my blue letter Bible not cooperating. When you type in Ecclesiastes, it changes it to ecclesiastical. So that's not exactly something I've searched lately, but so let's see if we got this. But anyway, the point is, God watches us. And I think what, you know, God said David was a man after his own heart. So we have to go look at, well, who was David? What did he do? You know, he was a young child, the son of Jesse, the rod of Jesse. And he was, you know, there was what, 8 brothers? And Samuel comes. God tells him to go anoint a child for the future kingship from the house of Jesse. And he goes there, and it tells us in another spot in the Bible that God told him that this oil, this special oil, would run when he put it over one of, you know, the appropriate son to be anointed. So Jesse, David's father, brings all of his boys in, and Samuel goes around and does his thing and tries to anoint him. The oil won't run. And he says, this, you got to have another son. And he says, no, this is it. And he goes, you got to have another son. He goes, well, I have that little runt out in the field taking care of the sheep, David. But they said he's small, he was the youngest, you know, he'd been overlooked. Samuel said, bring him in. Well, sure enough, guess what? The oil ran, okay? So now God's anointed David. God knew David's heart. God had probably spent a lot of nights with David out in the field. He knew how his heart worked, and he probably saw a young boy just craving for the truth. If you seek the truth, you'll find lies. You'll find deception. There will be all kinds of things. But God's really clear. Seek, and what? Ye shall find. Ask, and it'll be given to you. Knock, and the door shall be opened. I mean, he tells us straight up that if you seek, you'll find. But see, you have to seek the truth. You don't seek an agenda. You don't seek what you want. You don't seek what you think you want. You don't seek what you think should be the truth. You have to just be able to cleanse your mind for the most part. Really, it's to put down all your fears and preferences and be willing to understand when Christ says, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. That Christ's ultimate goal, God is our creator. You know, the Bible's a one-size-fits-all book. It doesn't talk about how you feel and all that. It's just do this. If you love me, keep my commandments. And, you know, Christ's main goal when he came down to the earth was to just share the gospel with everyone equally. And then when they rejected him, you know, they had all these biases. They saw him heal people, and they saw him cast out tons of demons. They saw him, you know, there's scripture that says he healed everyone who came in contact with him, everyone around him. And they still wanted to destroy him because it didn't fit into their agenda. And each one of us has our biases. The thing is, you need to know when you have them. And what I mean by that is, there's times we have things in our lives. I mean, how many times have we prayed? I've been in a few situations over a long period of time where I've been dealing with particular, I don't want to get too specific, but, you know, praying about a specific situation or relationship or something, and God tells me clearly what to do. But then I don't obey because I'm afraid of my loss or, you know, the breach in my relationship. And then over the long run, what happens? You know, for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction, which is basically nature. The longer you postpone that reaction, the greater it will become. And then you get into logarithms. Look at the amount of power that comes out of an atom. I mean, it's never been released. So when we put off the inevitable in our lives, when it finally hits, it gets ugly. It gets huge, and it gets really ugly. If we seek the truth, no matter the cost, you know, we can live our lives without looking over our shoulders. We don't have to defend our agenda and our position. There's nothing more frustrating than when you, well, there's probably a lot of things more frustrating, but when you get, you know, talking with people who have a theological stint or bent, and they are just avid. They're not there to listen. You know, the fool at Proverbs 18:2 takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his own opinion. People get crazy about non-doctrinal, if you want to call it theology, it's doctrine. It's not even theology. There's a variety of things I won't get into because I don't want to make people mad. But it's almost like, you know, the more miserable somebody is, the more they demand that you behave like them so you can be miserable like them. Misery loves company. And it's like the more off base somebody is in their theology and their beliefs, the more they freak out. Look at the extreme cases that we're faced with everywhere you go now, which is called politics. You have people just vehement. I mean, do you realize the things that I see and here now blow my mind? The liberal left does not believe in freedom of speech for all. They believe in their freedom of speech and the freedom of their press because it supports them. You know, you live by the sword, you die by the sword. What goes around comes around. All those things, what goes around comes around. Karma, people don't like that word. God says it in, Galatians, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. He who sows to his flesh will reap corruption from the flesh, or he who sows to the spirit will reap eternal life. That's karma. It doesn't say, if you believe this, if you believe that, if you believe this, it says, this is God is not mocked. It doesn't say by whom he's not mocked. It's a rule. It's a flat principle of life. That, you know, to sow to the spirit, you have to seek the truth no matter the cost. If you have a bias or, you know, a skewed perspective, you're sowing to your flesh. There's only one truth. There is infinite lies. And when people get drug away from the faith, they end up being sucked out by lies because you can't defend against them all. I've had relatives who've been caught up in that, and then they try to stamp out all the little fires. It's like standing on top of an ant hill and trying to kill the ants. You can't do it. That's the thing. There's no end to the lies that the devil can keep twisting and throwing, and that's why you see like this Saul Alinsky methodology in politics, which is rules for radicals and all that stuff. He's like, hey, just keep throwing it at them. Go to areas they don't know. Be sure. Keep them off guard. You know, never give in. Don't ever befriend them. Don't ever do what's right and good and true. Always knock their legs out from under them and always accuse them and personalize everything and rip them up. It's dark and it's doomsday and it's junk and it's terrible. It's a demonic downpour on our system. It's absolutely corrupt. You watch what's going on, folks. We're living in the realm of the epitome of deception. There have been deceptions throughout history. Oh, yes. I think 9/11 had a big portion of it. But this COVID virus thing and the Biden thing, give it up. I mean, folks, I'm going to tell you something that we may take for granted. COVID, hey, Biden, both five letters. Both really dangerous, COVID and Biden. So Biden, there's no doubt in anyone who's honest mind, Biden's got something seriously wrong upstairs. He has dementia. I mean, he babbles and babbles. I don't know if you've ever seen him, but he'll act like a kid. He'll get excited and he'll just start going, that guy was saying, and he doesn't make any sense. And he'll spew out this stuff, okay? This is a candidate for the presidency of the United States. Obama, okay, comes out and endorses him, but he didn't. That is the most cowardly act. He waits until the field's gone, all the damage is done, the carnage is out there, and then there's nowhere left to turn. Biden's a candidate. Everyone's like, how in the heck did that happen? And then here comes Biden or Obama. Yeah, I'd really like to endorse my friend Joe Biden, who he says, yeah, when I chose Joe as my vice presidential candidate, he goes, which was one of the best decisions I ever made. Well, what do you assume that means? You assume it means he was a good vice president. That's not what he said. If he was a good vice president, he would have said he was a fantastic leader, the hardest worker, a man of incredible integrity, and I couldn't have done it without him. But he goes, it's one of the best decisions I ever made. I don't know if you remember when Trump was running, he was going to have Newt Gingrich, and he switched to Mike Pence. Mike Pence is a great evangelical. There's a huge reason for that, because it helped Trump draw in the evangelicals, but Pence was the real deal. Trump doesn't do camouflage. He doesn't do faux finishes. He does the real deal. I think he's a heart. I think he can see through to people. But he also picked Pence because Gingrich was a talker, a very strong personality, overbearing. probably wouldn't have been obedient. They probably would have had huge clashes. It probably would have been one of the first presidencies where we lost the Veep, or else they just went away. But Biden, he's a classic. He's, what was his name that used to be with Johnny Carson? Ed McMahon. Ed McMahon just sat there and went, yeah, yes, sir, you're so funny. Johnny Carson's show, he just have Ed McMahon. You are right, sir. You are absolutely right. Everything you say. And he'd sit there and laugh and agree with everything and all kinds of stuff like that. Just to confirm everything. That's what Biden did. And Biden had a low IQ. I think Obama said it was a great decision because he didn't get in the way. And he probably wasn't bright enough to know some of the corrupt things that the Obamas did. I mean, you look now, Hillary got filthy rich as a Secretary of State. And she's just pompous and arrogant. Even Biden got filthy rich. And we've seen him get mad with people. He's got a short fuse. His kid's arrogant, Hunter. He got a $1 billion check from the Chinese. A what? Well, yeah, it was just money put into his investment company and an investment fund. It's like, uh-huh. And he took what they said he scraped off the top like 13, 14% or whatever, $130, $140 million because daddy was a Veep. That's corruption, my friends. These people get into D.C. and they come out loaded. Maybe I should run. Just kidding. But, I mean, seriously, these guys come out with all the power and all the money, and they sell out. The men that are up there that haven't done it, and they're up there. I mean, I know a couple of them personally, but they're, the media doesn't hit them up a lot. They're very run-of-the-mill. They do have they'll bring them on, but they like hype and they like controversy. I've watched political pundits on like Fox News over time or CNN, and what they'll do is the media, you have to understand a lot of times when they create an opposing discussion or conversation, they're like, okay, you're on this side, you're on that side. And they tell them, you need to fight for your position. They've got certain people that come on that maybe haven't fought hard enough, and they say, you got to push harder. People want to see it. And I'll see some of these pundits where they'll amp them up over time and get them where they're yelling and screaming and really making a fool out of themselves, and then they're gone, And we've seen it. And then it becomes ratings driven. It's even Glenn Beck did it when he was on Fox. There was, I could think of a bunch. Michelle Malcolm, and there's Dan Bongino is kind of going down that road now. Even Dennis Miller, he's back. But a lot of these people, they want that action. They want that screaming. They want that contention. They're always asking those antagonizing questions to tick people off. But the problem is, a lot of it's just darkness. It's a real down and out, bad attitude towards everything, finding fault in everything, not seeking what's good and true and right. Everyone realizes bad news sells, Blood gets the headline or something like that. We know that. But at the same time, we don't have to put our ratings first in our newspapers, although we're there. The first, amendment to the Constitution gives us the right to free speech, the right of free assembly, to protest, to redress grievances because of, in the Declaration of Independence, our inalienable rights, the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. It gives the press the right to exist. It gives us the right to practice a free exercise of our religion. And you've got stuff going on right now where the liberal media and liberals in general are behind this insane shutdown. I'm getting frustrated with certain people's perspectives because they're not using their head. Fear is an incredible motivator, but not always a positive one at all. Fear can be a terribly, terribly negative motivator. In fact, I can't think of how many times we make the right decision based on fear. There will be times, there will be exceptions, but in general, that is not a good basis from which to form an opinion or make a decision. But yet we can be controlled through fear. Studies I talked about long ago with, where was it? Oh, dropping goods and services or necessary materials, water and all this stuff into different parts of Iraq before we came in. They did a study with four different groups, all the way from putting wrappers on it. All the food and all the water and the boxes and everything have wrappers with a message on them. You know, you can call it a form of propaganda. They go all the way from super positive. We're coming to save you, to liberate you, to help you become wealthy and happy and feed your family, and all the way down to the United States is, you know, the most powerful military force on planet Earth. We will soon be conquering and occupying your land. If anybody resists, they'll be immediately executed or whatever. And they found a massive, massive, they found with the negative, with the threatening negative, people laid down their arms, came out and gave everything up. And they found in the areas where they used the super positive, the people were, you know, they greeted them and everything, but it didn't last. It was just, it was weak and unorganized. We thrive on fear. And they found our hot button with COVID, folks. And if you don't think this thing could be orchestrated by a group of people with a substantial amounts of money, I mean, trillions of dollars disappeared. If you don't think someone can organize that with the power and control and leverage they have, you don't, I know it's hard to comprehend, but it's very doable. You don't even have to speak a lot of things. You do what Bill Gates does. You have Event 201. You educate the educators about this coronavirus pandemic that's going to break out. Then you have the pandemic docuseries. Now you educate the populace on how to freak out and panic when it hits. And then right after that, you have it hit. And you just happen to have the testing kits. But you just keep pumping the propaganda out. Folks, the details, I have a relative who's worked in the COVID unit here in town, and she's very clear that the general health condition of the majority of the people suffering from this stuff is all basically plagued with pre-existing issues before the fact. You notice the flu season's gone. Did you hear anything about the flu this year? Why would that be? Well, because it was too warm of a winter? Maybe because they blamed every flu illness on COVID. Maybe they blamed so much stuff on COVID that you can't even fathom it. And you know, one day this will pass. However, what won't change is this breach of our civil rights, this ramming of the dam that protects and holds back the overrun of our liberties. When you get these liberal socialist-minded people, you get people like Bernie and Elizabeth Warren, they're just their whole presentation is disgusting. It's sick. It's nauseous and it's anti-American. You get people like that that start having influence in a nation like the United States of America. It's over. I hate to say that. Thank goodness God says that he judges a nation by how his people operate. But he also tells us that he does judge a nation. Isaiah, 18, I think he talks about, that's where I think it says, come, let us reason together. He says, I judge. I'm sick and tired of it. I'm sick and tired of your sins. I'm sick and tired. And he's speaking to the whole nation. And he's just tired of it. And he's not going to put up with it anymore. And it's like I said a while ago, when you talk about the truth, the word of God is truth. I know there's people out there that aren't believers. I get to talk to them and hear their opinions. It's very interesting. But again, it's a fool. They take no pleasure in understanding because they're not studying the word and studying the history. And they'll start getting caught up in supposed contradictions in the Bible. They are not Hebrew scholars. I mean, come on. When you start to study the word in Hebrew and Greek, it changes everything. You know, half the time, the translators are wrong. Now, that would be putting it. I mean, half the time when they think they found a discrepancy, the translations are wrong. Probably more like 90% of the time. The bottom line is it's the book is inerrant. It's inspired by God. Do I believe in that? Absolutely. Can God move through you? Absolutely. Can the Holy Spirit show up and do whatever he wants? Absolutely. You just have to be open to him and seek him. Again, knock and the door will be open. Seek and ye shall find. Ask and it'll be given to you. God wants us to prosper. He wants us to be wise. You know, you've got, I was talking a minute ago about Ecclesiastes, where Solomon is talking to his son, Rehoboam, over and over. It's my son, my son, my son. And he's like, he even says in Ecclesiastes 12, you know, the writing of many books is endless. And he's like, it becomes wearying and exhausting. And he says, the bottom line is this, fear God and obey his commandments. Before that, I think in 10, he's the richest, wealthiest, you know, smartest, wisest man ever. Before, since, or after. He's got, you know, to a lot of guys, they think this was a neat deal. But he's got like 1,000 concubines. So every night it's like, you know, bring me the 5 best or whatever. I don't know how it worked. But guys think, well, that'd be neat, you know. And it's not. Solomon says it's terrible. It's empty. There's no love. It's just flesh. And without love and relationships, without truth, things die. A lot of people go on these surges in life when they go, they chase drugs and women and or men and partying and expenditures and, you know, flashy lifestyle. They chase these things down, and it pretty soon it takes more. It's like a drug, and eventually it crashes. You can only do it for so much for so long. I know a couple people that have had tremendous wealth through certain organizations, and they get all this money, they don't know what to do with it. So they just build these endless housing projects or, you know, houses. There's a house for sale out in Post Falls, the Amway house. I mean, they had $29 million in that thing. It's down to 7. Not that you've got $7 million burning a hole in your pocket. I guarantee you if you bought it, the maintenance and upkeep would blow your mind. The thing's 28,000 square feet, but it was a rush while they built it. It was exciting, and it's been on the market now for like 20 years, you know, and it's they're losing, what, $22-23 million. They don't even need the money, but the thing is it's that insatiable desire. And you could take that and use that same money in similar ways, a lower level house, and then do things for other people or whatever. I'm not condemning or judging anybody, but I'm just saying we chase that stuff on the earth in our lives. I was trying to see if I could find that. Anyway, so I guess I can't. So that's just the way it's going to be today. Let's see here. So I guess a friend of mine is asking me to mention the protest in front of the Spokane County Courthouse Friday at 2 p.m. Okay? So, and this makes sense, folks. And this is what I was getting to a little bit earlier. You've got governors denying people's right to assemble, refusing to approve permits to protest. You know, and the whole argument is it's got to be in the right place at the right time and all this stuff. And I agree, sort of. If it's going to be a hindrance, or you get these protesters, it's always the liberal crazy maniacs that'll block traffic and screw everything up. And for some reason, cops don't do anything. But as long as it's not affecting other people or hurting them, I think having to get a permit to protest is a little bit tough. They can actually call off a protest for not having a permit. And so some states are trying to do that. That's going to go to the Supreme Court, I hope, and I hope they make the right decisions. Anyway, so there's a protest about the lockdown, shutdown, this Friday at 2 p.m. in front of the Spokane County Courthouse. That would be what? May 1st. But so if you're interested in that, I'd participate. Give them support. It is important. We need to protest. That's why the First Amendment was made. Our founders were really brilliant guys. They'd been through the ringer, and they were very philosophical. This is why socialism has become so popular, because you can control people through education. Our founders, even though they were raised under oppression, they learned how to think. The old schools taught us how to think. They called them institutions of higher learning for a reason. Because they taught us how to think, not what to think. Now they're teaching people what to think, and they can control them. And they do that, basically, it's the Hegelian dialectic, thesis, antithesis, synthesis. They present a problem, they have the solution, and then they're the hero. And people buy into this with such regularity, it's just built into us. I was listening to a psychologist on the radio the other day saying that people want to believe information that confirms what they already believe. That's why when you try to talk to somebody about how crazy this is or scripture or something, and they're completely opposed, that's when Jesus said, don't throw pearls to swine. You know when you hit a wall. Don't sit there. Don't open yourself up. Make yourself a target and just get beat up and slapped around. Don't do it to yourself. People want to believe what they want to believe. There's miracles. You can pray. People's minds change and all this stuff. Absolutely. But it's not on us. It's on us to speak the truth, seek the truth, and speak the truth. We have to share the truth that we know with those that we can, you know, help, that will listen to us. And then even if they don't, it's not up to us. So I finally found this. Isaiah 1, it says, God has had enough. Okay. Now he's letting a lot of things happen. That's the other thing you got to look at this nation. Is this a man-made crisis? Yes. It's not the virus that's causing the problems. And I don't care what anyone says, folks. I've looked at all the statistics, and I've had conversations with the pearls to swine situations I just told you about. It's so obvious and so factual. This is blown so out of proportion. It is the ultimate ideal situation for them to get Biden in. I was saying a minute ago, he has dementia. They hide him. They're using this as a great big screen for him as an excuse to hide him out. He's hiding in plain sight. They never have him come out and take questions for 20 minutes, ever. He's on the screen. I don't know if you saw him the other day with Hillary Clinton yambling how she supports him and telling if she's like, can you imagine the difference if we were in office right now where we would actually listen to the science? I mean, well, Trump's got scientists. He's getting the facts, but he's not a fool. He's a good businessman. He's a lot more brilliant than they are. And Biden was sitting there just drifting off into space. There's been situations where his wife has to come and remove him from the podium while he's done speaking. He just stares off into space. They're hiding this from us, folks. He's a mascot, a figurehead. The old guard wants to get back a hold of that White House. You have the Clinton dynasty. You have the Obama administration and influence. Now, I said the other day, Michelle Obama may be the VP candidate, but maybe not. Maybe it's Hillary. He wants a woman on that ticket, and she was obviously shooting for it. And you know, I don't believe the gal at all. I think the corruption's just ridiculous. But they want to have this mascot. It's like, you've got nominated. We're going to hold you up and use you. It's kind of like Weekend at Bernie's. You know, they got the dead body they're going to bring in. And they're going to take over. And they want to do everything this time the right way. What do I mean by that? No holds barred. They've learned no holds barred. They are so ticked about Trump. They want to get into that White House and they want to just turn it upside down. They want to turn this nation into a nation you'd never recognize, into a nation that will never lose another vote to the Republicans or the conservatives. They want to set up voting for illegal immigrants. Folks, they're letting prisoners out of prison. By one count, a guy I was talking to in the U.S. Marshal's office, well, a friend of him, he had met him and whatever, straight from there, 80% recidivism on all these felony convicts who'd been released from jail. Murders within 24 hours. You know, why would they want to release a bunch of criminals? Why would they want to give all these rights to people who aren't our citizens? You know, there's the debate over, you know, I've heard pastors that don't maybe do deep enough research or maybe don't communicate properly, saying that the Republican stance on illegal immigrants and immigration is wrong. Okay? Your first assumption is, well, they must want open borders. No, what they mean is we have to be compassionate towards the immigrant that's here with no money, no food, and all that? The answer is absolutely. On an individual basis, God judges individuals independently of nations. We have to protect our nation, but we also have to bring in the sojourner, as the Bible says, the foreigner, into our house. We've got to be great hosts. We've got to feed them. Bible even says, you never know, you may be entertaining angels unaware. You just don't know. But it, you know, which is a nice little spike to the punch. But at the same time, you do it because it's right and because you love Christ. Christ loves you. You love other people. You treat them right. You do the right thing. But that doesn't mean you can't have a strong, hard military to protect your nation. Folks, people, I had a guy yesterday ask me, why would they do this to America? And he's actually from an African nation. Why us? I said, because we're the greatest nation in the history of the world. He's like, no, what about Russia? I said, well, they may be big and strong, but they're not great. They don't make people great. They don't have the capitalism that we've had. They have, you know, the freedoms that we have. The KGB can still come and just take someone away and you'll never see them again. And there's, you can't ask questions because that's just the way it goes. Well, he didn't like that, but it's true, folks. We're at the top of the heap. We're at the top of the pile. And that's what it's becoming, is a pile. But there, you don't, we don't even recognize our nation anymore. Our media has lost it. You know, the free press that I'm talking about, free for the liberals, free for propaganda. It's a state-run press. That's how the USSR and China have operated forever. That's how Russia operated under Stalin all the way back to Lenin. And you got Mussolini, you got all the way to Bonaparte, Napoleon, Bonaparte. All of them. They get to be tyrannical maniacs. I mean, Napoleon wasn't near like some, but Hitler, all of it, it's propaganda. They have state-run press. One of the very first things in the Communist Manifesto is when they take over a government, when they're taking over a culture or a government, they immediately seize the printing presses, the press, and the schools. That is all you need. We are experimenting more and more with a nation that has been raised to think this way, to act this way. And frankly, the socialists, liberals, are confused why they can't win. They're like, we've got everything on our sides. And they'll grumble about, they'll say Fox News and Sean Hannity and all these guys, and that's it. Obama tried to shut down conservative talk radio with the Fairness Doctrine. He tried to resurrect the Fairness Doctrine that FDR had imposed back in the day. I mean, they want to get rid of it all. They want it one size fits all. We've got it. They want voting. Folks, there's so much going on right now. They're trying to use proxy voting, just like Nancy Pelosi with Congress. They want to have absentee proxy voting for all the members of Congress because, you know, this coronavirus is so dangerous. Well, then we'd have no record of who voted what They'd be voting from their homes. We don't pay them to stay home. They're staying home while everyone else has to go to work. And they're protecting themselves. They really believe they're the elite. And they believe that you're just a minion and that their job is that you're not smart enough to take care of yourself. They know what's better for you than you do. Our founders disagreed. God disagrees. We all have free will. You're going to make bad decisions and good decisions. But we make a lot better decisions with free will than we do under an iron fist, which is what they're trying to bring upon us. And I mean, folks, this is making progress in a direction that is phase one. They're wanting this universal vaccination that's literally legally mandated or imposed. And if they can't do that, then they're saying, well, we'll just make it. There's a quote out of Bill Gates' mouth recently. You know, we'll do this one-size-fits-all universal vaccination every year with a little tiny microscopic nanoparticle in it that we can detect. And if you don't have that, you will not be able to buy and sell. Now, remember, in Revelations, that's what it sounds like in the book of Revelation. But what it says in the book of Revelation, and I covered here recently, is that it says you won't be able to participate in the marketplace, which means Amazon. Just kidding, but I'm not. Google, whatever. I don't know. The public markets, you know, when John wrote that, I mean, he had no clue. Yeah, everything was a small community public market. So what he saw when he wrote that, who knows for sure. Maybe he had visions of incredible things. He said he couldn't even begin to try to describe stuff. I doubt he knew that we'd be all on the internet. And you think about the power of your little telephone. They've got you 24/7. Movies, news, information, texts, alerts, notifications. Try to search stuff. I've talked about this, folks. It has hit an all-time low. You've got social media censoring so badly now. Twitter is putting what's called interstitials. Okay, you're like, what is an interstitial? Well, what it is to them, I even tried to look the word up. Doesn't work. What it is to them is it's a wall. They're like, are you sure you want to read this? It's offensive. Or their other thing is that they say that they're going to add, well, they're adding contextual definitions. So basically, before you click on Trump's tweets, you know, he's got umpteen, whatever, 100 million, I don't know, followers, whatever it is. Before you click on it, the president of the great United States of America, think about how we've lost it. Before you click on his tweets, Twitter now is going to be putting up these interstitials which say, the following tweet includes false information or deceiving or deluding or, you know, deceptive facts and detail, you know, whatever. Just letting you know that our president doesn't have any credibility. I mean, CNN has not been covering the coronavirus daily briefings from the president of the United States of America, the most powerful man on earth, and everything's anti-Trump this, anti-Trump that, Trump this, Trump that. Article today, 59,872 deaths in America from COVID. Okay? I am completely convinced the numbers are wrong and skewed and out the window. Just over the top exaggerated. Doesn't matter. They, in one sentence, say 60,000 Americans have died. Who cares how or why? 60,000. And the next sentence starts with a key word, Trump. You know, it's Trump this, Trump that, Trump's war, Trump's virus, Trump's losing, you know, Trump's delusional. And well, they're the ones that have Trump delusion syndrome. But I went through this article. I'm like, are you kidding? Trump this, every sentence, every other sentence, Trump, 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 Trump. Just trash. Just trash on the President of the United States while we're talking about 60,000 people who died. What if one of those was your relative? Are we that dumb? Does it make people, I've seen them. I don't know if you saw the gal, they had her on the news last night or the night before, standing out crying and screaming, to Mayor de Blasio, maybe, or I think it was about, you know, my mom has COVID and you've done nothing and do something, and she's bawling and she's super theatrical and very dramatic. Well, they find out later, her mom doesn't have COVID. She's got a mental illness. She just making stuff up. Drug problem, mental illness, all kinds of stuff. No retraction on that one. Just leave it lingering. You know, all that emotional pitch. We've been dealing with this stuff for so long. The media has gotten so bad at trashing on our great president, and then it expands anyone who's around him. I mean, that's the cancer of hate. I've seen it in a pastoral situation in a large church where there was a family, and a family member was called out to ministry somewhere else, and the father just was a control freak, and he basically became so acidic and toxic and mad at his own son, his godly, awesome son, that he started to just chase down anybody who was associated with him, run him out of the church, just ran the thing down. And he couldn't see, we cannot see, when we become that corrupt, it's the frog in the frying pan. It's a slow death. And now, folks, what we're listening to, reading, tolerating out of our media, and you're just like, oh yeah, there they go again. Well, every so many years, we got a new generation coming up, folks. And their baseline, the generation now had the baseline, well, the generation, whatever age group you want to say, let's say, oh gosh, you know, the people that were 10 years old when Obama got in. And they're in their 20s now. There are new leaders coming up. So they were raised with Obama's amazing. He's the Messiah. He is flowers and sunshine and definitely rainbows and dolphins jumping in the water and just everything's terrific and everyone loves each other and we all hold hands and we just care so much. And then we get Trump. Now all of a sudden this generation is watching a confirmation of what they've been brainwashed. And now you got the new generation that's 10 years old when Trump got elected. They're getting taught Trump is terrible, Trump is evil, Trump is bad. But they're not all seeing that. They're seeing people wronged in the vitriol and the hatred and the destructive spirit. It is the most critical spirit imaginable. No good parent would ever tolerate their children behaving like that. And if you're a parent of a child ish, writing those kinds of articles, tell them to stop it. Go read the historical definition of ethical journalism. If I had time, I would have had the 10 points of journalism up here that they basically ascribe to. It's the journalist's Hippocratic Oath. And it's just like, in a way, like what doctors sign. I will do no harm. If I'm writing an editorial or an opinion piece, an op-ed, I will specify that this is my opinion. I will separate opinion from fact. They don't do this anymore. They report their opinion as if it's fact, and they don't even know they're doing it anymore. My wife and I were, you know, took a trip a while ago, a long ways away towards Australia down there, and the Australia, New Zealand, Fiji area, met a group of world profound, you know, world-renowned reporters, all extremely left-wing. You know, they were from all over, from Ireland and England and Africa and New York and San Francisco and South America. And my goodness, we had a lot of good talks, a lot of nice nights. We were on a beautiful island in Fiji. So despite the differences, they all thought I had a different belief system than I do, because it's the only way you can be heard. But that stuff's so impregnated in their thinking. And they get to the point, even the American citizens, when you knock down every single attack and complaint on Trump, then they start to say, but don't you think he's a bad person? Don't you think I had one friend say to me, well, I know, because this guy's been around construction forever. He goes, I know that in all of his years, I'm sure Trump did something wrong. I'm sure he did. Well, so is that our job, to go around and try to find that out? No, we elected him. The general public elected him. And by the way, when you hear this popular versus electoral college stuff, you got to be so careful. I mean, that's the way they want it now because they lost on the electoral system. Trump's a brilliant guy. He played the game right. The electoral system is designed to protect us from being landslided by the masses. If you go to a popular vote election, the candidates will only have to go to New York, Miami, Dallas, Texas, Los Angeles, San Francisco, you know, et cetera. The big cities, the top 10. The rest of you can take a hike. Look at what we deal with here in Eastern Washington. Everything's dictated by the coast. I've been talking to friends all over the nation lately, and they're just baffled. They can't comprehend Spokane's not Seattle. And they're like, how are you handling this? How are you doing that? Why is he so crazy? What's this? Well, the good news is that the Washington State Constitution is very conservative. Our governor may be breaking that and breaching it, and I pray to God that it goes to these things, like I said, go to the Supreme Court, because our civil rights are never suspended. They never, ever go away. But you would think they do. Governors don't have absolute power, folks. They don't even have the power to do squat. And as long as Trump says there's a national emergency, they can get away with some stuff. But the minute he pulls the plug on that, it's over. And you've got these left-wing, and they've mismanaged. Isn't it interesting that every state that is having this massive, visible COVID problem is run and led by left-wing and socialists, you know, haters? But you don't, the conservative states, look at Florida. I mean, they're like, what, the third most populated state in the U.S. They've done great. And he didn't lock them down. He didn't go over the top and get crazy. You know, now he's building them back together. And we're seeing this in a lot of these states. You don't hear from them. Another thing that's an interesting concept, if this is not a man-constructed pandemic, why do you not hear anything about other nations like Africa and, you know, Thailand, Indonesia, all these other countries? You don't hear anything about them getting this COVID virus. Why? Well, maybe it wasn't planted there. That would probably be a good first deduction. You know, we got South Korea right off the coast of China. They hate each other. So, of course, we already know the story that eight men went from Wuhan to South Korea, dumped the disease there, left, came back, and were instantly cured. So someone has the anecdote as well. But why are we not hearing about this thing, even in the Middle East? They're right, you know, behind China. Mongolia, all these, you're not hearing about it in Russia, really. It's there, but I mean, their population's so big. You get down into African nations, nothing, because they don't have a hard problem with them, I guess. They're not going after them. They're going after their enemies. Is that not interesting? I find it profound. I don't think it's a coincidence. As a friend of mine who's a doctor said, he goes, after I've lived all these years, he's probably 59, he says, Kevin, I no longer believe in coincidences. There's too many coincidences with this thing. So, I rambled a little today, but I kind of didn't really, this will blow your mind, I didn't really have a layout, but I had a few things on my mind. You got the whole Biden situation going on. You got the media. I mean, we have absolutely seen an exercise in the abuse of power. We've seen America's been taken over by lies and deception in so many ways. And I'm going to slide over real quick. This goes for financing or investing too. People have all this money and they invest and it never quite works out right. And, you know, it's super tough and it's hard. And, you know, some people make some money, but not enough people to make enough money, not relative to the amount of money that's being print it up. Hyperinflation's around the corner. This thing has only begun. We're going to see a tsunami, a financial coup coming. The long-term effects of this are going to be terrible, no matter what the genesis was. So, I mean, you do need to prepare yourself. They're talking about bringing it back in the fall. Oh, it's going to come back in the fall when it cools off. Why? Because we have this little thing called the election. Now they're trying to get absentee balloting around the whole nation. And still fighting the voter ID laws. Folks, we've got illegals voting. I know for a fact, 100%. I know people who do. We've got ex-cons voting. We can do absentee ballots for anybody, anytime, anywhere. You can pick them up now in, I think they said, 43 states. You can pick up an absentee ballots at like the local postal service and fill them out. You don't even have your name stamped on them like when they come in the mail. I mean, they're doing everything. They want 17-year-olds to vote. That's their new thing. Why? Because, you know, like they say, if you're young and you're not liberal, you don't have a heart. If you're old and you're not conservative, you don't have a brain. Really dumb saying, but the fact is, if you're young, you're liberal a lot. You don't care. You got a different mentality. You haven't supported yourself typically. You'll find these young kids. I know a guy who's 33, he owns an amazing company. He dropped out of school in ninth grade, and he's phenomenal. He's the outlier. But in general, you know, he was thrown out of the house in eighth grade. But in general, people that are supported by somebody else really don't appreciate independence. It's just, it's a thing. You want to know God's way, the independent way? God judges us each independently. Well, we should live that way. So financially, folks, I would highly encourage you to get yourself secured. I would have a solid nest egg built in hard assets. Give us a call, seriously, 509-444-0044. We can get you set up. And annuities, I don't have time today. I saw another nightmare. Someone set themselves up. Annuities, I don't care how pretty they sound, folks. If you want to just hand your money off and never see it again, get an annuity. And never get it back with the proper interest payouts. Just saying. But if we can help you out, we'd love to. If you got some money, preserve it, because things are going to get tough. Take care. God bless. Have a great evening. Bye-bye.